Thank you very much for coming to the presentation today and for sticking it out, even though you are now being faced with the opportunity to go eat lunch, I suspect. As a presenter, I do not have any commercial interests relevant to this presentation. However, I am a contractor with the US EPA, and this relationship continued following my postdoc work that I did with the EPA, allowing me to continue to work on indicator development. So I do have a financial relationship with the EPA, but none of the work that I'm reporting here today has anything to do with the contract that I work on. So there's a vast bit of literature out there looking at the association between birth outcomes and prenatal exposure to air pollution. Some of the research is mixed, finding protective effects, finding problematic effects, but typically these studies have been limited to urban areas because the way we measure air pollution is by looking at air pollution monitors. The consequence of this urban focus has been that rural areas are largely excluded from these analyses. So, luckily, the EPA has developed some interesting modeling approaches that will allow us to look at some of the more rural areas, which I'll be talking about in just a minute. As a result of this, these limitations, the study objectives were to determine whether maternal exposure to particulate matter of PM2.5 and ozone during pregnancy is associated with the risk of term low birth weight and small for gestational age infants, and then to explore whether these associations varied by socioeconomic status or by rural-urban differences. In order to construct the exposure measures, we used the CMAQ models developed by the US EPA. And so the CMAQ models takes a Bayesian hierarchical approach, incorporates atmospheric and environmental factors, and merges these data with monitor data. And the modeling allows them to construct a sort of geographic grid of air pollution and how it flows over entire areas. And these grids are constructed on a 12 by 12 basis. So on the left-hand side, you can see the ozone concentrations for the state of North Carolina. By the way, this research is done in North Carolina. And on the right-hand side, you can see the grid, the 12 by 12 grids of PM2.5. So those are that's the exposure that I'll be discussing. The outcome data comes from the North Carolina Vital Records and Health Service data for all singleton births in North Carolina for the years 2003 to 2005. Term low birth weight was defined as an infant weighing less than 2,500 grams at birth among term births, and term births are those that occur after 37 weeks completed gestation. Small for gestational age is defined as less than 10th percentile for the gestational age, less than 10th percentile weight for gestational age. The maternal residence information comes from birth certificates, the addresses were then linked to the CMAQ 12 by 12 grids, and the air pollution concentrations were averaged for each trimester of pregnancy. We used binomial regression to produce the statistical models, and these were adjusted for multiple confounders. The confounders were those that were available on the birth records, however. And we also stratified by Medicaid use, which was our proxy for socioeconomic status, and by rural-urban continuum codes. This is the first slide of results, and what it's showing is a couple of things. First off, SGA births are approximately 11% of all the births, and term low birth weight births were about 2% of the total births. You can see the mean and the median values for PM2.5 and ozone. I realize that out of context with the rest of the country, these values themselves are not all that informative, except to say that North Carolina generally has pretty low air pollution values. The third thing I'll tell you is I'm showing the results here for the third trimester, consistent across all three trimesters, but the slide was already busy and trying to incorporate the other two trimesters was going to be troubling. These here are the risk ratios for the association between air pollution concentration and small for gestational age and term low birth weight infants. Looking first at SGA, you can see that there is not much of an association between PM2.5 and small for gestational age. Looking at ozone, however, there appears to be a bit of an increase with for SGA risk as ozone concentrations increase across the trimesters, but this association is pretty small. Looking then at term low birth weight, you can see again there's not much of an association that we observe for PM2.5, but there does appear to be an increased risk in the third trimester for ozone for term low birth weight infants. And these model results that I'm showing you here are adjusted, as you can see, for it's a pretty large adjustment set. In this set of results, we have stratified the findings by Medicaid usage. Again, Medicaid is trying to be our proxy for socioeconomic status, meaning is there any difference in the observed associations between women of higher or lower socioeconomic status. And what we see again across both of the outcomes for SGA and term low birth weight is there's not much of a relationship between PM2.5 and these adverse birth outcomes. For ozone, however, particularly for term low birth weight, there does continue to be an association between ozone and term low birth weight, but it does not differ by socioeconomic status. Meaning, for instance, looking at the 1.33 for no Medicaid usage, that's fairly consistent with 1.40, and the confidence intervals overlap sufficiently. So there doesn't appear to be a difference by socioeconomic status. Again, similar findings as what we've already, as what I've already shown you for PM2.5 and the adverse birth outcomes, not much of an association between PM2.5 and these adverse birth outcomes, and the findings do not differ by rural-urban status. So I'm going to back up for 1 second. The rural-urban continuum code is a 9-code variable that lets you look at a large suite of your proximity to urban areas and how much of a metropolitan influence there is. Typically, this 9-variable or this 9-category variable gets condensed to 4 categories, ranging from very rural to very urban. For these analyses, we actually dichotomized it so that we have mostly urban and mostly rural, pretty consistent with the census definition, but as a group, we really kind of like this RUCC code, so this is the one that we chose instead. So when I'm talking about RUCC, that's what I'm talking about. In any case, then, looking at the ozone findings, what we see is that there is a bit of a difference. The women who were resident in more urban areas were at increased risk of delivering term low birth weight infants compared to the women who lived in non-urban areas. But there was not much of a difference observed for the small for gestational age infants. So some of the strengths of this study. This study was able to examine the associations across the entire state of North Carolina. We have a lot of rural area in North Carolina, and the air monitors are obviously not randomly placed. So this allowed us to look at the relationship between air quality and birth across the entire state. We were also able to stratify by 2 potentially important variables, socioeconomic status and rural-urban status. In terms of limitations, however, information was only available for residents at the time of birth. If a woman moved during her pregnancy, we are going to only be able to estimate her, or we're going to assign her exposure based on where she was living when her infant was born, not where she was actually exposed. And air pollution estimates are, of course, not a good proxy for actual personal exposure. Many women work outside the house. Perhaps it is the air pollution or the air quality of their employment that we should be measuring, or the air quality of where they're spending their days versus where they sleep at night. They may actually be of interest, but we haven't figured out, I think, as a society, how to do that yet. Despite these limitations, however, we feel pretty good about the conclusions that we can draw, which are as follows. maternal exposure to high ozone concentrations during the third trimester of pregnancy appear to increase the risk of low birth weight, term low birth weight, and small for gestational age infants. However, maternal exposure to PM2.5 during pregnancy did not appear to confer increased risk. And we found that these results were similar across socioeconomic status or Medicaid usage, but that urban residents appeared to be associated with increased risk of small for gestational age and among women who were exposed to higher levels of ozone. Please allow me to acknowledge some of the folks who have contributed importantly to this research. And at this point, many of you might be wondering where Lisa Vinokur is, the first author on this paper, and allow me to introduce Annabelle, born 2 weeks ago today. And that's it. Thank you very much.